This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, Jeff Shackelford is a senior writer for Golf Week, Golf Channel contributor, and co-host of the podcast, The Shack House. It's a pleasure to welcome Jeff Shackelford back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, John.
Thanks for doing this.
Of course.
All right, where are you? Where is your seat on the Tiger bandwagon? Are you all in? Are you?
Oh, of course.
You are. You're all in.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Well, why wouldn't you be? Well, I there are people who are not, but oh, absolutely, I'm all in. And it was great fun seeing him out here in L.A. and in San Diego, and the difference in the energy is just contagious. It's incredible.
What he
brings.
It is. I've paid attention to that on the coverage over the last couple of weeks. You know, we heard all of the good and the bad, the yin and the yang. I don't like him because he went through this. But they seem to be back in droves cheering for him.
Well, I think it makes sense that there's somebody who has been through a lot, and some of it self-inflicted, but has hit sort of rock bottom as a competitor. And the prospect of having him back, I think, is very exciting for people. And seeing history made potentially, or at least being reminded of his greatness, and being able to see him go out in a way that's respectable, as opposed to withdrawing and limping off into the car, into the parking lot, but actually see him competing again, I think will be fantastic. And I think you've probably heard me say, but I think if you look at the history of the game, there's a lot of the great moments in the history of tournament golf, anyway, we saw a convergence of generations, and I think it's really fun that here's in our sport that somebody who's been around this long can compete and might show the young whippersnappers a thing or two, and that's that's an intriguing component. I don't know how many people realize that about the history of the game, but I think they do. I think they know that golf has always been a sport that you can have a late run and great moments, and I mean Arnie and Jack, they all had moments late in life that got the crowds going. And then I think the other component that we can't really measure or determine is that maybe the younger generation isn't quite as interesting to people as everybody's told us they are, which I think is to be expected. You know, they can only be so interesting at the age of 23, John.
Yeah, that's true.
And we expect a lot of them, and you know, Tiger's a more interesting person. Phil's a complicated, interesting guy. Through time
Who interests you more, Tiger or Phil? Who's more interesting?
Oh, Tiger.
Okay.
Phil's intrigue can get a little exhausting at times. in terms of his, he's not neurotic, but it can just be the way Phil does things. He does it his own way, and it can be entertaining, but sometimes it can be a little bit exhausting. And he's had kind of an odd relationship with the press. It's this is going to be one of those funny things, John. As Tiger gets older, he's getting more press friendly, at least since he's been back. He was great at all the tournaments, great with the kids, great with the fans, but especially the kids. Giving balls away and acknowledging, you know, any young voice he heard yell his name, he'd look and give him a little, you know, point or thumbs up or nod or something. And then he'd throw a ball to him a bunch of times. And now Phil still does that too, but he's amazing with the kids. But he's gotten a little strange with the media, doesn't like to come down to the press center ever. And he's just, you know, if I'm doing a story or something and I'd love his insights, you just kind of reach a point where it's like, well, I'm just not even going to bother. It's too much drama and too much work. So they're kind of going in opposite directions in a way as diplomats and ambassadors of the game, which I just find sort of amusing.
What? Well, you don't like going to the press center either.
Well, now, John, it's interesting you say that. And people think that's because writers are lazy.
No.
That we just want them to come to us.
No.
But people have to understand, and the players, we're increasingly seeing a problem. You know this.
Yes.
Where they don't do it, and we're able to tell less about them and share less about their personality and their story from interviews just after the round on the course. And when they come down there and it's a little more relaxed setting, it yields better answers. And that's the reason we always want them to come talk to us. It's not because we're lazy.
No. I didn't mean that at all.
No, I know you do, but a lot of people think that way. They think, especially the players.
Well, there are a couple. We can name names. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
We're talking with Jeff Shackelford here on the Augusta Golf Show. All right, a couple of other things to cover. USGA announcing this week they're done with the 18-hole Monday playoff for the men's U.S. Open. Going to a couple of holes. Are you happy to see the Monday playoff go away?
I'm happy to see the Monday playoff go away.
Can you explain why it's a couple of holes?
I cannot, and I am not happy about it. I don't understand, for all of my adult life having to be lectured by the USGA about the importance of 18 holes, that they go from that to two holes. Now, I have a theory. I have a working theory, John.
Okay.
This is based on no concrete evidence whatsoever.
Sure.
And it's Augusta related.
Okay.
I have a theory that the Masters will also go to a two-hole playoff because it makes sense. Now, maybe not this year, but I believe that sudden death needs to go at the Masters. I hate it. I've never liked it. They've been very fortunate. It's worked out pretty well.
How much, Jeff, how much do you think they've chosen sudden death because they push that clock?
Yes, like that's why.
Okay.
So, John, in this theory, two holes isn't too much of a push. You know, it's maybe you move up the tee times 10 minutes. You institute a two-hole playoff that then goes to sudden death if they're still tied, but you have a natural 1-2 situation there with the 10th and the 18th. And my working theory is that the USGA and Fred Ridley and the Masters probably have discussed this, and that's the only way I can rationalize
okay.
the USGA picking two holes.
All right, so with this theory, Doctor, wouldn't it have made sense and less blowback if the Masters had announced it first and then the USGA came down the pike and did it?
Perhaps, but I also think that timing-wise it would be tough for Chairman Ridley starting out the new job to just be throwing out all sorts of big changes, and they like to announce things like that during tournament week.
Okay.
So,
all right.
My sense is that it in a way, though, it also kind of validates if the Masters comes in and says, we've also decided to go to this format. Oh, and we're just going to go to the same one as USGA, and everyone's happy. My problem is that we've had 3- and 4-hole playoffs, and it's really worked well. Everybody's felt good about it. You feel like it was three holes, and I think the Open at 4 is even better, but 3 holes, like at the Players, has improved that tournament. The credibility of that event has gone up because of that playoff system. Then we saw one play out that was an all-time epic when Ricky won there.
Mm-hmm.
Two just seems just so close to sudden death. I know people are probably thinking, well, this is not a big difference, but it really is, especially when you're talking about the U.S. Open.
I agree. You brought up Augusta National. A minute or so we've got left. You are a golf course architect. All indications, well, they pretty well announced that after this year they'll move that fifth tee back. What do you think changes next?
I think that's one that will be done maybe more for kind of the tee and green proximity. And then I think they're going to sit still for a while and watch this little distance debate play out, and they may have a few views on that. But I don't sense the 13th hole is going to be changed anytime soon in terms of lengthening. And I think they're happy to kind of watch this discussion, and I'm hoping that Augusta National is a big part of that discussion, and they could make the discussion a lot shorter if they just instituted a slightly different ball spec for the Masters week. But that's probably wishful thinking on my part. So I think they're tired of doing too much to the course. I would love to see it happen, if nothing else, to allow them to mow the fairways back to the way they used to mow them and really see the ball run on the ground there.
Mm-hmm. He is Jeff Shackelford. He can always be found in the media center at golf tournaments.
Waiting for the players to come and talk to us.
And still waiting. Jeff, thanks for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, John.